Good afternoon. Thank you very much for being here to learn today. Today is the Chaf Aleph Teves, Tav Shin Pei Dalet, January 2nd, 2024. And this is Le'ilei Nishmas Bina Bas Reb Avraham, Zichron Livracha, and also Le'ilei Nishmas Manish Yitzchak Ben Aryeh, Zichron Livracha. So last time we were discussing how a person has to have kind of a thick skin in order to have bitachon. I cannot be afraid of people. That was the Aleph Beis of the Bitachon Vat. Lo Sira Mayhem. Don't be afraid of people. Don't be afraid of enemy armies. Don't be afraid of the odds and the probabilities and the challenges of life. Remember we said that Rabbeinu Yonah holds it's a negative commandment, Lo Saseh, not to be afraid. Rabbi Yechezkel Sarna, the Chafetz Chaim extended, they say that it's referring to being afraid in general, to live in fear. We have to avoid that. It's a mitzvah we have to work on. And it occurred to me a couple nights ago, I was delighted to notice as I went back to the school that I teach in, and in the teacher's room, somebody had put down a basket of beautiful oranges, navel oranges, and being very hungry, I decided, oh, Baruch Hashem. So I grabbed not one, but two oranges, and it was between shul and tutoring. And I want to thank Mrs. Tropp and the Atara PTA, if you're the ones who gave us the oranges, in case you're listening. Anyway, I was eating these oranges. The first one was really sweet, firm, and succulent. The second one, I immediately noticed, had two personalities to it. When I started eating it, it wasn't so juicy and firm and succulent and sweet. But as I kept eating and peeling it, it became more firm and succulent and sweet. I noticed that as the skin became thicker, that section of the orange, that part of the orange was more juicy and firm and tasty and sweet. And then it struck me like a thunderbolt. I realized that Hashem designed the world this way. Not all oranges have that, but we can certainly learn from Hashem's creations, including people. If I will only work on having a bit of a thicker skin, not depending on people behaving perfectly toward me, not being fazed, not taking people as seriously, not expecting flawless conduct from relatives and friends in society, that they should look at me the right way, they should smile, they should have derech eretz. If I'm not so demanding, if I could have a bit of a thicker skin, this is good for people who are very sensitive to hear. That's why I'm talking to myself. That's what the whole vod is for. And to be a little less unnecessarily sensitive, I can be a sweeter person. Under that thicker skin was a sweeter, more succulent, firmer orange. The person encased in a more protective inner serenity and self-esteem from within, trusting in Hashem alone. It's from my lev and my moach, my heart and my brain, how I connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, encased in that skin, which is a little bit thicker, rather than depending on people and having a thin skin, always dependent on people acting the right way toward me. That creates a sweeter me. I will perform so much better in interpersonal relationships. Just a moment of inspiration from a navel orange. And we continue talking about bitachon in the Shara Simcha and the Orcha Sadikim. And the Orcha Sadikim tells us, Haboteach Elokim, one who trusts in Hashem, Yivi Enu HaBitachon, the trust will bring him, Lefanos Libo, to turn his heart, Me'in Yonei HaOlam, from worldly matters, from mundane things that the person is obsessed with, or entrenched in, or immersed in, Le'yached atzmo, in order that the person can dedicate himself, to direct himself, le'inyanei ha-Torah b'ha-avoda, to matters of Torah and service of Hashem. Because if I don't have enough bitachon, I will be fixated on worldly items, worldly enjoyments, perfections, and attainments. But if I have bitachon in Hashem, as we've talked about before, I'm able to free up space in my brain and my emotions and my heart, and I can direct myself to Hashem. Says the Orcha Sadikim, Itzarich Adam Lachkor Hadeos, and a person needs to look for the ideas. It takes research, like it says by the Melech in Parshas Shoftim. This is where the Bali Musa say, we need to learn Musar. We need to learn what applies to us, if that's the way that we get close to Hashem. Many people it is applicable to, And we have to learn, Laman Yilmad Liyireas Hashem, as it says in Parshas Shoftim. The king, and he's the model for every person, has to learn to fear Hashem. It is a science. It's a discipline. Tzarech Adam Lach Kor HaDeos. A person needs to research, needs to search out and delve and find those ideas, those ways of thinking, those attitudes, HaMachazikos Eslivo, that strengthen the person's heart, and that actually anchor the person's heart. Lachzik, to connect the person, Lios Bevitochon Shalom Belokin, to ground the person, to be in a full trust in Hashem. Machshava Rishona, what is the first thought we need to have in order to have Bitochon? So the Orcha Tzadikim is giving us the foundations for Bitochon now. Again, the rudimentary basis, what we need to have trust in Hashem. Sheyeda b'idea brura. The person needs to be fully aware, has to have a lucid awareness and a knowledge of the fact, ki hu Elokim merachem al ha'adam, that Hashem is merciful on the person. Whatever I'm going through, Hashem is fair. We have to realize that. Hashem is very benevolent and compassionate toward us. Yoser mikol merachem, more than anyone else who can have mercy on me. That means if I think I'm looking to people again, that they should have mercy and compassion on me, and they should supply all my needs. They're only the agents. They're the go-betweens. They're the conduits. But the mercy, the unending, the unceasing compassion, that all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what we've learned before, that we're supposed to picture in front of ourselves. It's the halacha brought in the beginning of the post-game in Shulchan Aruch. Yud Kei Vav Kei. I see in front of me whether things are going smoothly or not quite as smoothly. I have to picture in front of me. It's to my benefit. Keep the halacha. It gets us through life. I see the four-letter name of Hashem, the tetragrammaton, Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, with the osios that are the same as Yira. There's a, in the beginning, a Shva, and then it's, I'm sorry, it's a Chirik, it's like Yira, so it's the same words. So we have to look at it that way. Not a Shva, it's a Chirik. It's the E sound, and then the Shva, and then the comma, like the year off, we replace those with the letters Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. And when I look at that in front of me and I see that, and it takes a lot of work, I'm supposed to picture it in front of me. When I picture it, or at least think it, because I've tried that also, things might or might not go smoothly. So let's say I'm heading into a situation which is more challenging than usual. I think this, and I try to also see it in front of me. Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. That's Aminas Harakamim. It's Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum B'chanun, as it says in Parshas Ki Sisa, Barayud Gimel Midos. It's the first and the second of the Midos HaRachamim. So that is the endless, the infinite. I picture it as depth. There's depth which is infinite. I can see those letters in front of me, and I can see through the facade, through the what looks like the ink of the letters, and I can see more deeply. Infinitely deep. The Yud Kei Vav Kei, what does it mean infinitely deep? Hashem's mercies are never ending. That's what Hashem told Moshe. Rashi says it in Kisisa. So if I know that Hashem has mercy which is infinite, and Hashem is the only one who's infinite, and the name Yud Kei Vav Kei is Midas HaRachamim, I realize that no matter how much compassion, how much sensitivity a human being can have toward me, and could be kind and generous toward me, but they're limited. Hashem is the only one with the capital O. He's the one who's unlimited with mercy. That's so comforting because I don't have to ever think, oh, I used it up. Oh, there's no more. No, it's infinite. And Hashem supervises and watches over the person in private and in public and in conspicuous scenes and scenarios as well. You know, English is a very funny language. We know that Hashem is looking over us. He's looking over us. He's a mashgiach, but he's not overlooking us. A human being might overlook us, might not notice, but Hashem never overlooks us. He looks over us. That's mashgiach halav, baseter of agolay. Whether I'm in the inner chambers of my room or I'm out in public, Hashem is actually watching over me. Constantly. If I remember that all the time, I'm not going to have anxiety. I'm not afraid of anything. Ah, what about those times where the person is a little bit careless? The person is a little bit blindsided. didn't realize that there's something there, literally blindsided. Hashem has mercy on that person still. It's called Shomer Psoyim Hashem. Hashem guards people who are not guarding themselves. He protects us from evil encounters even when we're not really fully aware. We're not on high alert, but Hashem is constantly on high alert. Hashem doesn't slumber nor sleep. And that's what the Orach HaTzaddikim says. K'enin Shenemar, like it says, Salem Kufta Zion, Vav. Shomer Psoyim Hashem. Hashem guards the fools. Now, the last time around, we touched upon the halachic ramifications of this concept, because it's a vast halachic discussion. The Gemara even says, Kivan Dedasha Be'rabim, Shomer Psoyim Hashem. We will speak briefly about it. It definitely can ruffle a few feathers. The way that it's finally summarized by the great Gaon Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal in his tshuva, there are some activities people do. There are some foods people might eat. Hashem created them for people's enjoyment so that, as the Peleoit says, we should eat delicious foods so we can say a bracha achrona and a bracha rishona and bench with simcha. So this is what an experience to have a very luscious type of food to eat. Some foods might be harmful to some people, or maybe are harmful to some people, but many people, if not most, eat them or do certain activities, and they are not harmed by them. And they were created for people's enjoyment. So Rav Moshe, when he talked about it, he talked about Bisra Shamna, which really means meat, like red meat. And I asked one time the great Gaon, Rafaiva Cohen Zatzal, I was his waiter in Kamanava, the Bar HaShulchan, and he said, certainly, unless your physician tells you, you can have some salt, you can have some sugar, you can have some cholesterol, unless you have a specific health concern. What is the concept there? Kivan Dedasha Be'rabim, since many people have tread over it, meaning that many people do it, and there are many who are not harmed by it, and it's created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not by accident, so that we should enjoy Hashem's world. So then what about the possible damage or harm that could happen? If I haven't been told by my medical team to avoid it, then we have Kivan Dedasha Be'rabim. Since many people do engage in that activity, then Shomer Psoyim Hashem. Hashem guards the fools. Who are the fools? Not really fools. It's the people who aren't taking every single precaution in the world to avoid everything that could be remotely damaging or harmful to them. And this concept is quoted in many areas, which we're not going to get into. Each one is its own area. I'll just mention the names of the areas so you'll know. You'll realize that it's there. It's by in Eben Ezer Siman Tes, the Aruch HaShulchan says it about a katmanis. We're not going to get into the topic of katmanis. He says it about some people, they say one or two words with food in their mouth. Now what about the halacha that says in the Gemara, Ein Beis Habliya Panoi? If the throat is not clear, this is some Rishonim explain the Gemara that way, then we're worried a person might choke on the food if he says one or two words. The Aruch HaShulchan says, well, one reason that some people rely on is not necessarily giving us a blanket hefter, but they might say one or two words while there's food in their mouth. They're not concerned about choking on it, is because of this concept. He evokes this concept over and over again. Kivan Dedashu Be'rabim. Since many people do certain actions that are either very convenient or very enjoyable for a human being that can actually give us more joy in Avodas Hashem, many people do it, and many or most people are not harmed by it. They come out fine from it. Then we say, Shomer Psoyim Hashem. Hashem guards those who are not avoiding that action. We have to be very careful how we apply it. Originally, it was said about smoking. We're not going to get into the smoking thing now. But what's the association to be talking? There are many times in life that we do things and we are not guarding ourselves well enough. Hashem protects us at those moments. There are times we can't even avoid it. I remember many, many years ago, I was driving, coming out of a museum center. I had a green light. And we all know that a green light is no guarantee that you have safe passage into an intersection. But I had a green light. It looked fine. Actually gave a look both ways. Started driving into the intersection to continue on my way. Lo and behold, from the right side, a vehicle came bolting through his red light straight into the intersection where I was about to enter the intersection, but I already was committed to it. I was accelerating. What does one do at that moment? All I can tell you is, Kivan de Doshabe Rabim, actually Doshabe Rabim doesn't apply here. It's the second part. Shomer Psayim Hashem. Hashem guards the fools. Because at that moment, I could have either stopped short or I could have done something else. And in retrospect, stopping short would not have been advisable at all. Because then I would have been sitting there as his target. But I didn't think even. I know, I'm telling you right now, I did not think. I floored the accelerator to get out of the intersection just in time for that person who was driving that way, for him to clear the intersection as he violated his red light. It happened one more time later on. I remember it happened two times, Baruch Hashem. Those are the last two Be'ezras Hashem that will ever happen. That's since I was driving when I was 16. That's only happened twice. One lesson is people go through a red light. Number two, I see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shomer Psoyim Hashem, because there was nothing that I could do actually in that case. In fact, I wasn't even being careless. It was a clear, and the person came out of nowhere. This is happening all the time. If I realize Hashem is doing this for me, I will have a passionate, enthusiastic HaKoras HaTov, a gratitude to Hashem. Thank you for letting me be here today, Ribono Shel Olam. There are millions of these situations that happen. We don't even know, as Rav Moshe Feinstein points out in the Darash Moshe. HaMachshava HaShniya. So the first one was about compassion and mercy, that Hashem is surely the compassionate one, the only one who's fully capable of being merciful, generous, sensitive, and compassionate to us. There's no being who can do it the way Hashem does. You can't even compare. Baruch Hashem, we have family members and friends who play that role. Hashem is the one sending them toward us. Yes, we have to thank them and have HaKaras HaTov. Tremendous. Lifelong HaKaras HaTov. But we have to realize it's all coming from the infinite, unending, unceasing mercies of Hashem. The second thought is, Asher kol HaTovos HaMagios Elav. And it's related to the first one. All the favors, all the benefits that reach a person, may aviv umeimo, from one's father and from one's mother, the echad, and one's brothers and sisters, ukrovav, and one's relatives, vereav, and a person's friends. Where is that all coming from? Where does it originate? Does it originate with the parents? Does it originate with the siblings? Does it originate with the relatives, the friends? Hakol me'eis Hashem yisbarach hu. Everything is coming from Hashem. It's all from Hashem. So that's why if they don't deliver, we cannot fault them. We can love people by not expecting them to be our benefactors. That's the way we're supposed to realize that chesed goes. Be'eluhem shluchei hamakom baruch hu. These are agents of Hashem, of the omnipotent, of the omnipresent Hashem. Again, we know that we have to have a Koras HaTov. Of course we have to thank the messengers and the agents. But they are not the ones who originate. They don't generate the chesed. It's coming from Hashem. They're the ones delivering it. That is comforting, because then if they turn us down, that means it's not that they turned us down. It's Hashem who did. And that means the answer at that moment was no. So therefore, I have nothing against anybody. There are people who live bitter lives. How many people I've met, I'm bitter. They say, I'm bitter. I'm not on speaking terms with this person or that person. Chas v'shalom. Why? Oh, because they had expectations from each other and they never came through. We realize it's from Hashem. Then we all we do is go straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashlishis, the third thought, sheyeda, that one should know, shekol hatovos hein mechaste hu eloki. Ah, what's the nature of all this benevolence? All the favors that I receive, they're from Hashem's loving kindness. They're free favors. Lo shehu roi lechach. A person should never think, I deserve it. Because if I think that I deserve it, first of all, I might become arrogant. Second of all, if I ever have a time that I'm not performing properly, then I will panic, because I will think, uh-oh, now I don't deserve it. Now what's going to be? But if I know that the whole time Hashem is giving me free chesed, then I realize that I never have to be afraid that I'm not going to have it. Ve'eino kodesh baruch hu meitiv lo mipnei shehu tzarich lo. Hashem doesn't do favors to people. He doesn't create us even because he needs human beings. Ach nedava v'chesed. It's all nedava, it's a free will benefit. It's a kindness from Hashem. It's not that we're deserving of it. If we realize that, then again, it kind of, we can breathe a sigh of relief and realize this insurance policy of bitachon, it's legitimate, it's authentic, because there are no flaws in it. Because if I have bitachon in Hashem, I'm going to the right place. It's not because I deserve it, and if I don't behave perfectly one day, I don't deserve it. And now I'm in real peril. That's not true. Hashem anyway gives it to me as a chesed. A revis, the fourth one. Asher sheyeda, asher lecho inyonov, yesh gavul v'keitz. A person needs to know that there is a border. What does a border mean? There's a limit. There's an end to all of a person's matters. What is this supposed to mean? Meaning, let's say a relationship is a positive one. It wasn't before. If it wasn't before and I was trying my best, that's because it was the Ratzon Hashem, perhaps, that it wouldn't pick up until it did. And if something ends, whatever it is, that might be, usually is because Hashem, if it was not in my control, Hashem wanted it to end. Everything has limits. So I'm not supposed to think in my mind, oh, why did that end so fast? We'll see examples. The Ein Shum Adam Yochol Lahosif V'Zigroa. And it's not only timing. It's, besides being quantitative, it's qualitative also. But Ein Shum Adam Yochol Lahosif V'Zigroa. No human being is able to add on nor to subtract Amasha Gazer Harbor Yisale on what the Exalted Creator has decreed. What does that mean? He explains it. Umasha Gazer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sheyiye Lo Ma'at. If Hashem has decreed that a person should have a little bit, let's say it's money. If this is what's decreed, how much parnasa the person should have. If this is the amount of gratification from relationships the person's going to have. If this is the lifespan or the health that the person's going to have, besides things that the person's supposed to go ahead and secure for himself. But if these are the factors that are not in the person's control, that's from Hashem. Ein adam yochol laharbos. Nobody is able to increase that. No human intervention is going to change anything. Olamai tariboy, or to make less when I'm supposed to have a lot. So a person shouldn't have anxiety. Oh, I sure hope I have a lot of money. Stop anxiety and realize if it's supposed to happen, it's going to. Omasha gazer la'acher. Whatever Hashem decreed to delay, ein shum adam yochol lahakdim. Nobody can make it happen earlier. It's not going to go. Don't rush. V'lo la'acher masha gazer la'akdim. Nor can Hashem, can any person delay what Hashem wanted to make earlier. Hashem could change that. Nothing is beyond Hashem, but the person cannot change it. So you can't go ahead and delay what was supposed to happen earlier. If it's supposed to happen earlier, it's not going to happen later. Everything is with the decree of Hashem and with Hashem's will. Examples, the famous one, we know that on September 11th, it was during Slichos, and there were people who were delayed in shul because the davening was later because of slichos. Now, a person might say, I have anxiety. I need to run out of shul. I will cut corners. I'll leave early so that I can get to where I think I'm supposed to be at the time I'm supposed to be there. We all know that there are plenty of stories. People who stayed in shul a little longer didn't report to work in the World Trade Center and were alive because of that. It happens all the time. There's this Yetzirah. Usually it's the Yetzirah, not always, but it's to run, to cut corners, cut down on the Tehillim, or whatever else we're doing, because I think I need to go early. So sometimes it is legitimate. Once in a while, you'll see a big Talmid Chacham, Yirei Shamayim, come into the early minyan and leaves after Chazaras Hashatz. He has to make a plane. So some things are clear cut. But if things are not clear cut, then that is not up to me. And then making it later or earlier, really have to realize it's in Hashem's hands. And he's going to make things happen when they're supposed to, and the quantity that they're supposed to. And it reminds me of a pasuk in Kohel. Doesn't Kohel ask in Perek Gimel? We know that l'kol zman, there's a time for everything. V'yeis l'chol chefetz tachas hashamayim. There's also a proper time for everything that's under the sun. And then he says in Kohel's Perek Gimel pasuk beis, eis lo ledes v'yeis lo mus. You know the translation. There's a time to be born and a time to die. What does the Medrash Rabba say about it? Eis ledes, he eis lo mus. From the time that a person is born, is already having to do with the time the person is going to pass on. What does that mean, really? Shemishasha adam nolak. That from the time, from the moment the person is born, nigzar alav, it's decreed upon him. Kama shanim nichyos. How many years he's going to live? Vim zacha, But if the person was zocha, merited it, mosifin lo, they add on to him years. Bimlav, and if not, pochsin lo, they subtract years for him. So what is this telling us? It's really up to Hashem's decree how long a person lives. But this is adjustable. Then it becomes a different decree. Once the person merits longer life, then that becomes the gzera, the decree of Hashem. But it is Hashem's decree. It's just that it's adjustable. As Rav Baruch Halevi Epstein quotes a pasuk, Yiras Hashem tosif yamin. Fear of Hashem will add on days to a person's life. Ushnos rishoyim hiktsurena. But the years of wicked people can be shortened. So in other words, it is very possible that a person can change that predestined time, how long a person is going to be here. But the truth is that if that becomes a new decree, and we have that in our ability, but it's still, once Hashem decrees it, that's up to Hashem, even though there is human intervention when it comes to this type of decree. And I'm going to end with a story today about what we learned last time, and a little bit in the beginning of today. We have to have a bit of a thick skin. And sometimes, as the Orchos Tzadikim told us last time, we have to not win a popularity contest. Sometimes we don't win a popularity contest when it comes to Yiras Shamayim. Like if someone wants to tell me Lashon Hara, so I'm not supposed to listen. I can avoid it and certainly can't believe it. Of course, there are exceptions to both of those. So sometimes it does create a little bit of tension. One time when I was a bachur, I was around 16 years old, I believe, maybe 15. I was eating at a friend's house on Shabbos during the years of yeshiva, and my friend's little brother was there, and my friend's grandfather was there. So at the table, the grandfather began saying Lashon Hara, like a lot of Lashon Hara. So I said to myself, okay, there's a checklist what a person can do in that case, rebuking the person so that maybe it'll help for next time too. I knew that I wasn't going to be able to do that. I was 15 and he was a grandfather. I wasn't able to change the subject. I'm not talented at that, especially since I was just a guest. I wasn't able to leave. I wasn't able to close my ears without it causing ridicule, probably. So I was stuck with the last resort, and I just went through the hierarchy, the basic one in halakha, about what to do if someone starts saying Lashon Hara. So the Chafetz Chaim says, if I have no choice, I can remain there, but I have to make sure not to believe it. I have to make sure not to show any signs of agreement. And I also have to not enjoy it, the Lashon Hara. And if possible, I'm supposed to show a little bit displeasure, if possible. So I decided I'm going to take the if possible option and show a little bit displeasure that there's Lashon Hara going. So my chavrusas, or my friend's little brother, noticed that I was uncomfortable. So he said to his grandfather, Zaidi, the guest, he's uncomfortable about what you're talking about. So the grandfather looked over at me and said, don't you realize that you're like an unbaked cake? You can't be correcting me. I guess a teenager is kind of unbaked cake. I was never called that again after that. And he really, really, really took offense that I looked uncomfortable that he was saying Lashon Hara. On the way out, I was leaving. The grandfather came over to me, looked at me squarely in the face, and said, I'm so sorry that I called you that. I feel terrible. I apologize. I feel very, very horrible that I did that. What do I get from this whole story? We're not going to talk about halacha right now, but sometimes it's worth it to not be afraid to express what's right, even if it might be offensive to someone else, if halacha is being violated and I'm exposed to it, like the ear pollution of hearing Lashon Hara. It's just a thought, whether it was the right thing that I did or not. But that's what the Orchos Tzadikim says. We shouldn't be worried about people if it's going against what Hashem wants. Hashem should help us to have that thick skin like that navel orange when we're supposed to have it, and that will create so much sweetness and serenity inside of us, and that will help us perfect our bitachon and emunah. Thank you so much for learning. Have a great week.